Welcome to the Type 1 Lifting Podcast. Now enjoy the show. All right, guys, I want to tell you a little bit about Type 1 Lifting. So Type 1 Lifting is a clothing brand that proceeds of the shirts, the hats, and everything else go to the Children's Diabetes Foundation. This whole t-shirt company started from me taking care of a five-year-old girl from the emergency department at the Children's Hospital I worked at in Atlanta for a while back. I thought I needed to do a little bit more than kind of just talk about my story. So this is how I started the clothing line, because I wanted to show people that even though diabetics have this really bad disease, we can still do amazing things in our life, and diabetes won't stop, you know, stop us reaching our goals. So go check out type1lifting.com. And, you know, if you have any questions, you can always reach me out on Instagram. It's type1lifting, and hope you guys enjoy the show. Hey guys, we have a new sponsor for the Type 1 Lifting podcast. The company's called Liberté Lifestyle. So Liberté is a French word meaning freedom, and the company was founded on the desire to have freedom to choose what we want to do with our lives. I actually had the owner, Nicole, on my podcast on episode 28. So if you want to go back and listen to her, she talks about how she started the company and what she wants to do in the future with the company, which is pretty cool. So they actually have knee sleeves, wrist wraps, shirts, shorts. Love the knee sleeves. I have the ice cream knee sleeves and I love them so much. They haven't, the neoprene's still good. The seams haven't split compared to other knee sleeves that I have had in the past, and I'm planning to keep these for a very, very long time. So Nicole actually gave me a promo code for you guys too. So it's all capital letters, T-Y-P-E, and the number one. So it's type one. So go to libertelifestyle.com, check out what they have in the store, use the promo code type one, and save some coin. Now let's go to the episode. All right, guys, welcome to a new episode of the Type 1 Lifting Podcast. I have the CrossFit athlete and the fittest mom in CrossFit, Arian Lowen. How you doing?
Hey, thanks for having me, Thomas. Yeah, glad to be on it.
Yeah, awesome. Like I've been a fan of you for quite a while. I've been like watching you from a side. And so it's like, it's awesome seeing, you know, a mom absolutely kill it in CrossFit. So it's like the mom's, the mom strength is like crazy.
I know. It's funny because I don't know where it came from, but I think being a mom and being a professional CrossFit athlete just makes it so much more sweet.
Yeah, definitely. So I just saw in your stories you got a new whip.
Yes and no. After quarterfinals ended, literally I submitted my score that Sunday. My husband was like, I saw this beautiful car. It's exactly what we're looking for. Let's just go look at it. So Sunday we went and looked at it and fell in love. Monday we went to buy it and they actually had a recall on like the windshield. So they had to reseal it.
Yeah.
So we technically bought it like last Monday, but it's been almost 2 weeks that I've been waiting on it. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm so excited. We got a Mustang Mach-E. So it's an all electric car. It's just beautiful. But I've waited for a week and I'm like, okay, I don't have a car. I've been stuck at home all week. Like just twiddling my thumbs. So eventually I called the dealership and was like, hey, I can be patient, but I also have been stuck at home for a week and I was expecting to have a car 2 weeks ago. Like, can you help me out? So they hooked me up with a sweet BMW.
Yeah,
that's a temporary car.
Yeah, that looked pretty sick. I was just like, oh, okay, all right. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's sweet. Oh my gosh. We Googled the price of it last night just to be like, okay, what'd they give us? And it's like $100,000 car. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'd almost rather not have it because it's such a liability, but yeah, it's fun for a few days.
Yeah. I mean, I could see you going like, you know, 15 and a 25, cause you don't want to like wreck it or anything like that, or just do anything crazy.
Yeah. Parking at like the farthest parking spot away, yep. Just to make sure.
Yep. Yep. So last a year ago, my wife got me a Ford Maverick. And so it's almost like, it's not like an F-150, it's like a smaller version. And so like, it was so difficult for her to find that vehicle because like everything was in back order because of all the chips and everything like that. And so she called the dealer, which was like right down the street from our house, and like, hey, do you have any of these Mavericks available? And they're like, yeah, one just came on the lot and like someone's interested, so you better get over here and buy it. So she literally bought it on the like over the phone and didn't even take a look at it yet. And so they're like, just
you didn't even know the color
or anything? Nope.
You didn't care?
No, I don't care. So like the color that I have is called Area 51. So it's like this, it's this weird grayish, greenish blue color. And so it's
cool.
It definitely sticks out. So, but it's like, it's not like a crazy yellow where like everyone knows that like, you know, you're compensating for something, but it's like, you know, it looks nice. So I'm happy. And then my wife was wanting a Bronco forever.
Oh my gosh.
It came up.
Okay.
And so we drove like 45 minutes to another like dealership to get this Bronco, and she got it. And
what color?
It's gray, and it's like a, it has like the, what do you call it? The fabric roof on it. So it's like, you know, it's a convertible and everything. So it's the, what is it? The Outer Banks. So it's like kind of like a beachcomber kind of vehicle. So it's pretty sick.
Awesome.
Yeah. And
you're like me.
I love Fords. I've been always a big fan of Ford, but it's like, it's crazy to see on like Facebook that like everyone's complaining, like I've been waiting a year, I've been waiting 6 months just to get these vehicles. And here I am just saying like, we just bought it like sight on scene.
We just got it. Yep. Man, you got lucky. I love beautiful cars. So I've had an Infiniti since 2012, which is a beautiful car, but it got hail damaged and got totaled probably back in 2016. So I've been driving around with a car that works, but it definitely has hail damage everywhere. So when we went and saw our car, like black rims, tinted windows, I was just like, can I really drive something this nice? Cause I'm so used to like the bottom of the food chain, but I can appreciate a pretty car. That's for sure.
So what is your dream car? Like if you had any chance in the world to own one, like what would it be?
So it was actually a Tesla. And we were looking at Teslas, but we live in Midland, Texas. So the closest dealership was like 2 hours away at least. Mm-hmm. So my husband was like, we can get a Tesla. But he's like, if anything goes wrong, we have to drive it 2 hours away because nobody can service it here. So he was like, realistically, you want an electric car. You really like how the Tesla looks. Like, look at this Ford Mach-E. And they're almost like identical and maybe a little bit cheaper, a little bit more practical because Ford makes it. Yeah. So I legit can say I got my dream car.
Okay. All right. Love it. Mine's an Aston Martin DB9. So like the James Bond car.
I'd have to look. Oh, okay. You're talking fancy.
Yeah. So that's like, if I had a chance to get a car, that'd be my dream car. Cause I've been a big James Bond fan forever. And so just seeing that car, it's like, oh man, this is sick. This is so sick.
So who's your favorite James Bond that got played by him?
I love Roger Moore was my first one. So I liked him. Daniel Craig's great. Sean Connery. Yep. You know, like those top three guys, I think so. And I have like memorabilia from James Bond. I have like all the DVDs, like I have like everything. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. I'm like I collect like weird things. Like I collect comic books, like, you know, electronic gear and stuff. It's just, yeah, it's like, if you see me in person, you're like, you do not look like a dork. Like you're like a closet dork. That's what my wife calls me, a closet dork. And so I'm like, hey,
that's funny.
I mean, I've always collected this stuff when I was a kid and it's kind of stuck
with
it.
You just kept it going.
Yeah, pretty
much. And so do you just have like a closet full of stuff or is it all around your bedroom?
Yeah, so our spare bedroom has all the comic books like in the closet and there's like no room for like anything else. So it's just like, it's just so much. And then like all my really, really expensive comic books I have in our walk-in closet on like a rack. So like it's in like a back corner. So like no one touches it or any of the kids can get to it. So I'm just
Has your wife, has she just accepted it? Like she can't fight you on this?
No.
Yeah.
No. Like I used to go crazy when we first started dating. Like we'd go crazy. But then after a while, like I'm down in Georgia now, so there's really no comic book like stores around here. And I don't like going on eBay all the time. So it's just like, okay, you know, whatever. Just if I see something I like, I may consider getting it. Who knows?
Right. You're like in rehab right now.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. It's awful. I'm like looking at like some of the comic book stores. I'm like, man, these suck. Like I can't, I don't want to go back here. It's just, and so it's that's just like, so whatever, funny. I guess I have to rely on eBay, but whatever. But, but anyway, so, your background. So you have like a new house, pretty well, sort of new house.
Yeah. And we officially moved in after the games.
Okay.
So less than a year.
Okay. Yeah. So how are you liking the whole setup and everything like that? Are you still like tweaking a couple of things? Like, how's that going?
I wouldn't say we're tweaking anything yet, because to be super honest, it's not officially done yet. Mm-hmm. Like the inside absolutely is. And I still will like clean the house and I'm just like, this house is so beautiful. I'm so thankful. But we haven't done anything landscaping wise. I think actually Thursday, our concrete guy is going to come and like pour our sidewalks and we might start getting grass. But owning a home, we bought the home, we built it with a construction loan. So that like took up all our money. So like the agriculture outside and all the landscaping is so expensive.
I know.
So we're like, okay, baby steps.
Yeah.
So we're like, finish the inside. Everything to me is decorated. We have furniture. Everything's like done on the inside. Now it's like, okay, let's focus on slowly doing stuff on the outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got a quote for our backyard. It was like $60,000. And I'm like, no. Oh,
yeah.
No.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, yeah. And like we live on a slope too. So we kind of wanted to flatten it out, then like go down a little bit, then like flatten it out again. And it's just like, no. I'm like, we can't do that.
How much land do you have?
You asked me the question and I forgot how much it's not that much. So, but we live on a lake, so it's pretty cool. Like wake up every morning and you just
see
the water, and it's a private lake. So there's like no motorboats. Like it's like super quiet.
Wow.
I'm really happy like where we live right now. So
you're super blessed. We don't have really, we live in Midland, Texas, and we don't really have any lakes anywhere near us. So if we want our backyard to look nice, we've got to bring in mm-hmm. all the stops.
Yeah. Well, you could dig mm-hmm. a lake, right?
We could. We could, but I doubt we will do that. We actually, we're dreaming. So we live on an acre. So we mm-hmm. have like our house on the front part of it, and we have enough room to put a shop in the back.
Okay.
So I think if we were to get crazy, we might eventually build like a metal building or a shop and put like a mini CrossFit gym that can maybe hold 10 people comfortably in there. That would be our dream for our backyard, I'd say.
Okay. So is that like next year, a couple of years? Like where is that going to go? How far?
I would honestly probably say by the end of this year. Okay. I told my husband, Dylan, I was like, I would love to do that, but I can't do it during competition season because I'd be a little bit too overwhelmed with trying to set up the gym. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's think of a name for the gym. Let's think of how to get people if they want to join us. So I was like, if we build it after the games, would be the perfect time to focus on it then. So maybe August, if the market's right, if material isn't too expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And so, I did say earlier, you're the fittest mom. So, you have a 4-year-old daughter now or five?
Yeah, she is four. Good job. Okay.
So, I'm a dad too. So, but like, what was it like for your experience, like seeing your daughter for the first time?
Honestly, I wouldn't say this sounds horrible, but it wasn't a surreal emotional experience that I kind of expected it to be and how people mm-hmm. hyped it up. I feel like if I go back to that moment, they brought this baby out of nowhere and just placed it on my chest. And I was like, okay, whose baby is this? where did this come from? Yeah. And then it was almost like as each day went on, we loved her more. We grew to love her. But the first experience was not a emotional, I've waited for you my whole life. It was just very, very different than I expected. What about for you?
So with Bennett, my son, he's seven. It was like, I just saw this like human being coming out. And I was just like, holy, like, is this real? Like I have a son now. And it was like, it was crazy. Cause like my wife had both of them are C-sections. And so, and like, So like they were having like choking fits because like the fluid and that was like still stuck in their lungs. Cause they, you know, when they go out the canal, it's like, you know, they push all that stuff out, but,
right.
But they were choking. So like literally like we were like, you know, obviously like loving to death, like Bennett. And it was just like every waking moment, he would like start choking a little bit. And like, I would have to run up and like, you know, pat his back to kind of stop him from choking. So
that's
it was
terrifying.
Yeah, it was, and it was for Sydney too, and it was like crazy because like you would like I would be like both of us were asleep, and then 2 seconds later you hear like, and we're like I run up and like grab one or the other and like just start smacking their back and like kind of making sure they're not like choking or anything. And then one of the nurses did it one time, and that like really freaked us out.
Oh, that's terrifying. Cause even when you're a new parent, you already don't know anything. Mm-hmm. So to then have to worry about, is my child asleep? But wait, are they breathing? Are they choking? That's a whole nother level of stress.
Yep. Yep. And it was
how long did that last?
Probably the first, maybe 3 weeks, I think. It's like 2 to 3 okay, weeks.
So even nights. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So we actually, my wife bought a pad underneath the mattress of Bennett, and like it would detect him breathing. And so if he stopped breathing, the alarm would go off. And so we would like hear the alarm once in a blue moon and just like beeline it into the bedroom. And it's just like, oh, okay. He's fine. He's awake. He's breathing.
Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, it was pretty,
what a way to wake up.
Yeah, pretty much. It was crazy. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy to see like every month to month to see their personality kind of grow.
Yeah.
So I mean, how, like, is your daughter more like you or your husband?
I think a mixture of both. I definitely agree with the personality part, because I feel like after 3 months, mm-hmm. The first 3 months were hard adjustment, kind of baby's still small. But after 3 months, it's like, oh, the baby can smile. Oh, she laughs. Oh, she can crawl. And then it's just like been blossoming from there. Man, it's hard to say. She has a like a servant heart. So if she, one time I was doing a podcast just like this, and she's really quiet in her room for like 30 minutes. I was like, oh goodness, she's either burned the house down or this. And I walk in there and she had just cleaned it. She cleaned up all her toys. And she was just like, Mom, I wanted to help you out. Just, she'll do little things to her. I'm like, your heart is so pure and kind. I don't know if that's me or my husband, but it's sweet to see.
Yeah. Is there any like sayings that she says that like you only know what she's talking about compared to like everyone else?
We have an inside joke when we like terms of endearment, we'll call each other gooey and gloppy. Mm-hmm. And it's just like kind of goofy, but we read a book called Pizza Pat, and it's describing this pizza that's cheesy and sticky, gooey and gloppy. So we'll just be like, oh, I love you. You're so gooey and gloppy. That'd be like our code word for I like you.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Do you guys?
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. well, Bennett would always like give me like a kiss on the cheek or like, you know, like be very affectionate and pretty much. And like Sydney, she is so affectionate. She like, aww. She's like, I love you, you know, give me a hug and then like pick me up. Can you carry me? You know, just stuff like that. And like, and she's, it's funny because she can't really talk that great right now. And so like her seeing like LOL, like the LOL dolls that are out, like, you know, oh, like, can I get an LOL? And it was like LOL or like, it's like just stuff like that. It's like super cute. And like sometimes like no one can understand her sometimes, but like my wife and I can understand her. So we're like, okay, she's saying this. And so, you know,
you're the interpreter. How old is she?
She's 4.
Wow. Okay. So she's like my daughter's age.
Yep. Yeah. She was born on August 31st and my son was born on May the 4th.
What a good birthday.
Yeah. Yeah. International Star Wars Day. Yeah.
Yeah. But, exactly.
So funny story about that. So when we found out it was May 4th, my boss at the time was like, I told her, I was just like, oh, my son's born on May the 4th. And she's like, oh my God, that's International Star Wars Day. And yeah. I was like, what? And I told my wife and I'm like, Jesus, another door coming into the family.
Did you name him Luke?
No, Bennett. No, we just had a name of Bennett. Oh, so okay. Yeah. I didn't want to name him Luke, but like one of them. So I'm originally from Massachusetts. And so we were thinking about naming him Harper. And so I did a real thick Bostonian accent saying like, hey, Harper, can you grab me a beer? And my wife's like, no, we can't do that.
That's a good test. That's a really good test.
Yeah, like anything with like AR at the end or anything like that, we're like, nope. Can't do it.
It's hard to find names, though. I don't know if you guys struggled, but we struggled pretty hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know how, where we found Bennett, but Sydney, I got it off of Jennifer Gardner from Alias, because her name was Sydney.
Okay.
And so I was like, oh, that's a cute name. So I was like, what about Sydney? And so my wife was like, oh yeah, I like that too. So we just kind of picked that.
That's easy. That's how I didn't have a preference for her name, but I definitely wanted to like the name. Mm-hmm. And my husband was a fan of Blake Lively. So he kind of combined the two and did Blakely. And I was like, I don't know anybody named that. So that's where we got ours from too.
Yeah. Have you ever thought of like, have you ever thought of like really crazy names at all? Or
the craziest was Blakely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I really liked Callie and Blair, but my husband was not on board. So I was like, we need something we both like.
Okay. Okay. I mean, I love Blakely. That's a great name. Definitely a great name.
Yeah. I did too.
So I was doing a whole bunch of research on you. And so you've been on a bunch of podcasts and
you're sweet.
What do you think about podcasts and like, you know, why do you go on so many of them?
I hope to like inspire people to see that, like, if you're a mom, you don't have to give up on your dreams. If you're discouraged for your life not going the way you want to, like, God can redeem that. So I love going on and just sharing my story to hopefully encourage people. Mm-hmm. Then I also, like, I am a stay-at-home mom. I do train from home. So it's my outlet to meet people from Georgia and all over the world.
Yep. Yep.
And I've met some really, really great people just from doing podcasts that I still am in touch with and connected today.
Very cool. Now, the funniest podcast I heard was the Midland, Texas podcast.
Aren't they great?
Yeah, they were really good. I was impressed. I was like, man, they're really, and I loved how the guy was saying, yeah, we can do like a lot or something like that. And like, he really didn't understand like what it was. And like, you're sitting there like,
no idea.
Yeah, and it was hilarious. Like how he was like trying to be like a CrossFit dude or something like that. So it was a good one.
Yeah. And what surprised me is it's here in Midland, Texas, kind of in the middle of nowhere. They're just really good at their trade, which he's a marketer by trade. So I was just like, wow, he blew me away, not only by the interview, but he also edited it together so it sounded flawless, and just his editing and all of that. Yeah, that was a really entertaining one to be on.
Yeah. And they only do like Midland people from Midland, Texas, right?
Right. Isn't that surprising for how good they are?
Yeah. I was really impressed. I was like, that was the last podcast I listened to. And I was just like,
that's the best one.
Yeah. That was the best one. I'm like, I'm just going to leave it like that. Just that's it. So.
But it's different when you're in person. They've got their fancy studio. It's definitely different. And there's three people. I feel like you could bounce off, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just by myself in an unfinished basement. No. So that's a brick wall. So that's like a crockery
wall.
Still
great.
Yeah. I'm trying to like slowly like improvise and like, you know, get more stuff and like lighting or whatever. So my wife is, I always talk about my wife on my podcast, but she's an Amazon influencer. And so she does live streams. And so the main office in our house is all her stuff. And so I got suckered into going down to the basement and kind of
in the basement.
In the unfinished basement, just to do the podcast and stuff. I literally have like an industrial heater, like right on the side, like right next to me, just in case it gets cold if I'm doing a podcast.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What's the perks to being an Amazon influencer?
Well, I mean, it's pretty much like almost like an affiliate kind of deal. So like she'll like do a link or something like that, and like people click on it and she gets like a commission off of it.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
She has like 170,000 followers on Instagram, and like
her, holy moly.
Yeah, she's legit. She's been blogging. She's been like a fashion blogger ever since we started dating.
Wow. Is that her main time, her main gig?
Yep.
That's amazing. Yeah. Good for her.
Yeah, it was at the time I was like always taking pictures of her and stuff like that. And I'm like, not the photographer. And she's like, oh, this picture's blurry. Like this picture's blurry. And I'm like, I was a graphic designer by trade in college. So I'm like trying to like make it a little more artistic. She's like, no, just stop it. Just take pictures and just leave it as is. And there's were times I used to get so fed up and I'm like, okay, either you find somebody else or like you just stop yelling at me. So
right. Like, and what does she do now? Do you still take pictures?
So she has a stand and she does she does Instagram reels all the time. So it's like, she really doesn't need me to take pictures anymore.
Nope. You've been replaced, but for the better, it sounds like.
So like I get to watch the kids or something like that. And then like, here's me. I'm like, oh, can you take a picture of me? And she's like, okay. And so I'm like, what do you want? She's like, I'm like, I don't know. You figure it out. You're the Amazon influencer. So
you're the one. How cool.
Yeah.
What a fun gig.
It's crazy. Like, I am so proud of her. Like, I know this is a podcast about you, but like, I'm so proud of her. Like, she busts her ass every single day when it comes to that stuff. So
you have to.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's because she's growing it. Like, literally, it's a plant and she's just growing it day by day. That's amazing. Yeah.
Like, every month it's like another 10K coming, like, for followers and stuff. And I'm like, it's like insane.
How?
Exactly. Yeah. And the one thing I don't like about it is like all the crazy dudes in the DMs, like just saying and like saying crazy stuff. I don't know if you get that at all, but like, you know, let me see your feet or like anything, like, you know, marry me or whatever. Like, do you get anything of that in like social media?
I have gotten a few weird ones, and usually it's just, okay, delete, like, don't even let it phase you. But yeah, there's some interesting people out there. Sure.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. And you have quite the following on social media too. So, you know, how what do you do to kind of grow your social media?
I'm trying. I'm not going to lie. I'm trying to grow it. So I try and do, like your wife, more reels. And I really like the editing side of it. So I'll try and do cool transitions for some of my reels. But I really do look at other people and try and get inspiration and then say, like, okay, that's pretty creative. How can I do that for the companies I work for and partner with? But it's fun because it is my full-time job besides working out and doing the CrossFit game. So it's entertaining to tap into my creative side and see, can I bring that to life for myself without looking goofy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's worked for a few of them.
Yeah. I mean, you do great on the reels too, by the way. So my reels are just like, oh, here's me lifting heavy weight and that's it. So, but yeah, I'm like, cause like, I don't really have anybody else to do the stuff. So, and it's just like, am I going to transition and stuff like that? And it's just like, whatever. Yeah, I'll figure something out. But yeah, since you said that you train in your house. So why do you do that? You don't go to a box or anything like that? So what's the whole purpose of that?
No. Okay. So I went to a gym called Hit for Fit here in Midland, and it was awesome. It was exactly what I needed at the time. Mm-hmm. And then I went to Rogue in October, which was here in Austin, Texas, competed, and we had moved into our house. We had the home gym. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to work out for a week from the home gym, get a change of scenery. And then a week turned into 2 weeks. 2 weeks turned into 3 weeks. And now I'm just full time from home. Because the place I was going to had classes. So they were like, Ariel, you are awesome, but classes take priority. And I totally understood that because that's how they make their money. So I had to work out in the corner, make sure I'm programming stuff that's not using the equipment they're using, but I still have some machines. So it just got to be where it was really hard on Sundays to look at their stuff, look at my stuff, squeeze it together. And then I kind of feel like an outcast in the corner. So working out from home has mentally been awesome because I can just go crazy, use everything if I want to, use two pieces of equipment, turn up the music loud, and just not have to deal with, not to sound high maintenance, but I don't have to worry about anything other than work out hard, lay on the floor dead afterwards, good workout for the day. And then you just walk back inside. There's no commuting or anything.
Yeah, exactly. You just like sweat all over the house and everything. And it's just like, yeah, I'll just clean up later.
Exactly. I can use chalk as much as I want. Because before I was trying to be super respectful because they are running a business. They do have members and they take priority. And now it's so peaceful because I can do whatever I want, clean it up. And then I'm done for the day. And also it's given me probably 40 minutes more of my day because I don't have to drive there 20 minutes and then drive home 20 minutes and then shower. I'm just here. So it's what I thought was going to be a 1 week long change of scenery has turned into a 6 month adventure.
Yeah. So do you have like any times that like you don't have like any motivation pretty much? You're just like, All right, I'm supposed to work out at like 10 a.m., but like maybe I'll just push it to like noon or the afternoon. Like, how do you keep that schedule for you, like training?
This is what's so awesome. When I switched to the home gym, one of my good buddies named Joelle, who worked out with me at HIFAFIT, was like, hey, do you care if I join you at home if you're going to work out at home? So every day he shows up at 11 and we do our cardio piece together, and then he'll leave and I'll do my strength work. Him showing up every day at the same time keeps me accountable to walk into my gym at 11 to get ready to work out. Mm-hmm. But I'll be honest, like today I woke up and I'm super sore and I was like, I really don't want to work out, but I'm going to set up my stuff. I'm going to start the clock and just get it done. And afterwards, I never regret working out. And I'm always so thankful I just started, and I find my motivation as I start working out almost.
Yeah. Pretty much like an extra scoop of pre-workout just to get it going.
Yeah. Exactly. Usually the first round is my pre-workout. Like, okay, quit feeling sorry for yourself. You'll be fine. Get it done. But him showing up every day at 11 really helps me stay on schedule and not take 5 hours in the gym. Kind of just keep it tight.
Yeah. And so does your daughter go to school? So you have to pick her up at a certain time, or how does the schedule work for you?
She doesn't. Yeah, she doesn't yet. So I usually wake up, I'm up and at them by 8. This morning, she lives her best life. She was up at 10 a.m.
What?
She is, yeah. So I had like 2 hours to like read my Bible, eat my breakfast, clean the house a bit. But my schedule is very laid back. I'm super blessed to, I usually work out from 11 to 1:30, and she'll be in the living room. I'll turn on a movie. I'll put out snacks. There's colors, there's toys. So she is great. And I'll check in on her every 20 to 30 minutes. But we have a good schedule being here at home because she has free reign. If she needs snacks, she goes in the fridge, she grabs her water. If she needs anything, she comes to grab me. So it's actually really great.
That's cool. Like, in, especially in the middle of a workout, she's like, I got to go potty or something like that. And you're like, okay, like, let's go.
She knows better. This, like, because she's been working out with, I've always had her with me because I'm a stay-at-home mom. From 11 to 11:30, I have 30 minutes of interval hard cardio training. It sounds bad, but she knows not to mess with me, because one time she walked in there and I was just like, I cannot help you right now. You're going to have to wait 10 minutes. And then she just patiently waits. But I also try and be smart. Right before 11, she goes to the bathroom, and she shouldn't need anything else if she had snacks. But yeah, I haven't had anything horrible happen yet. Knock on wood.
Well, that's
so
good.
I'm thankful.
Sorry, I hope I didn't jinx that. So.
Yeah, tomorrow she's going to be like turning off my music mid-workout. No, it's been great.
So does she work out with you once in a while too at all? Or she just has like no ambition for that?
We have rings. So we call them like the Blakely rings that are at her height that she can swing on. But really we try and keep the gym for adults. She's more than welcome to go in there, but I also know how dangerous it is in there with weights flying around. And sometimes my husband works out with me. So we'll let her in, but when it's time to work out, we're like, okay, come on inside, or you can stay here. Just try and keep her out of the way so no injuries happen.
Yeah. When my son was 6, even 5 too, we would do this thing called Next Station. So I had like a whole gym. I had a whole gym in my basement too. And so I would, you know, we would do like a workout for like, you know, 30 seconds, and then we'd have like 20 seconds to switch. And so he would like run to the rings or the elliptical, or like he had a 3-pound kettlebell. We would do like kettlebell swings.
Fun.
And I have like a rower too, and he would get on the rower and start rowing, obviously with off of form. Off of form, but whatever. but like, yeah, we would like, and it was funny because like, I'm like, okay, you need to go here, here, and here. And then he just didn't want to do that next station. So he's like running around, like trying to find where the next station he wants to do. And so he'll just like run someplace and just try to lift weights and like use like 3-pound dumbbells and like go over, like do like shoulder to overhead and stuff like that. So
that's so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't say the gym is her thing, but she loves gymnastics right now. So handstands, cartwheels, she'll swing on a bar. And that's about all she's interested in.
Yeah. My son is not really that much interested in it anymore. He's more interested in like football and like his iPad and stuff like that. Okay. So I'm like, all right, whatever. Yeah. And now he wants to start doing a podcast with me too. So we're in the process of doing
that. That'd be sweet.
Yeah. So
would he have his friends on?
No. So it's called Curiosity the Kid. And so he, okay. So what it is we talk about like what he's done for like the week. And then he has like, then we'll talk about like NFL news and stuff like that. Cause he's obsessed with NFL. Like that's his sport. And then he has a question that he wants to get answered. Like our first episode was, why does Geno Smith, he's like a quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks. How many teams has he played for? And so we find the answer and we tell people like, okay, he's played for this team, and this team. And then we just kind of go from there. And that's mainly the podcast.
Fun. Yeah, fun. He probably loves it.
Oh yeah. Like I got a new microphone. I got a microphone for him and everything like that. So we just like, he like talks and he's like, it's funny, like the video that we have on YouTube, he like literally keeps on like hitting the desk. And so it starts like vibrating because my camera is on my desk. And so I'm like, Bennett, you got to stop that. And he's like, oh, okay, sorry. Then 2 seconds later, he hits the desk again. And it's just like, okay, whatever. Just leave it as is.
Yeah, but, it's your show.
Yeah. But he wants to interview like NFL players and stuff like that.
I mean, shoot your shot. You never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
Well, I need to do an Instagram channel for an Instagram page for him. So, and then like, then I'll probably be able to reach out to other people. And we're New England Patriots fans. So he obviously wants to interview the New England Patriots people. So I'm like, we'll find out. We'll throw some Hail Marys out there and see what happens.
Exactly. You just need one. You just need one.
Exactly. And I'm like, hey, can you get your friend on here too? So.
Yeah, and then it's a chain.
Yeah, definitely. But I also heard in the podcast that you actually program for yourself now. So
I do.
Why do you do that?
Yeah, I don't want to say I've been burned in the past, but I live in Midland and I've only reached out to people locally because I like someone present and someone there. Mm-hmm. So after I didn't make it to semifinals, the conventional way last year, or from semifinals, I didn't qualify for the games. I had to go through the last chance qualifier.
Yep.
And after I left semifinals, I had to reflect on, okay, what happened? Why didn't I do well? And I found some major holes in my game. So mm-hmm. after semis, he would program for me and I'd be like, oh, he's still missing some major things. So then I'd have to tweak the programming because like I need to touch a sandbag every week and do chest to bars every week. Certain things that weren't programmed regularly, and then when they came up a competition, I just flopped. So after semis, I started doing it for myself, and then I just felt bad because I felt like I was being rude. Like, I know you just spent so much time on this programming.
Yep.
Let me tweak it because it's not good enough. And I was like, I'd rather just stay friends with you. Thank you for all you've done. I'd love for you to still show up for me. And so now I've actually really enjoyed it because I sit down on Sundays, I look at what my weaknesses are, what I want to program for the week, make sure it all squeezes in there in the workouts. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought I was going to get tired of it, just like the home gym. I was waiting for 2 weeks to go by and then I'm over it. But it's almost more fun because I feel like I'm stubborn. So if I tell myself to do something, it's like, well, you wrote it. You better finish this workout in the time domain. And I've just been like constantly pushing my limits and it's been refreshing.
Yeah. Well, have you ever thought about like writing your own program out there for other people to try it?
I have. I really have. I was going to do how they have Instagram, like subscriptions. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it's called. And you can, and then maybe putting my programming out there for people to see. And I was going to try that Monday, but I think I have a little bit, I'm scared to fail. So I'm scared to put it out there because what if two people subscribe? And then my feelings get hurt. So I think I just need to take a chance and just say, hey, here's what I do every day. If you want to see it, click on the link.
Yeah, that's what I would do. I mean, obviously, like, you know,
yeah,
like for instance, me starting a podcast, I'm not expecting to get like, you know, hundreds of thousands of like listeners. I know it's going to be like a slow, you know, it's going to percolate a little bit to kind of grow into, you know, where it is now. So it just takes time. But I always say just screw it, just do it. That's my thing.
Okay.
So
maybe I'll start this Monday. I should. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's what I need to hear. But I do program very different. Because I work out from the garage, need the clock. So I do a lot of interval every 3 minutes, every 4 minutes, every 2 minutes, every 1 minute. And just some people love that. Some people hate it. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Yeah. So you did say you were stubborn a little bit. So like, how do you typically program for yourself? Like other than like honing in the weaknesses, I know you do like a cardio piece in the beginning. So like what, like, did you like are you in a strength program right now towards like, you know, semis or like, you know, or what's the whole process right now?
Yeah, I do. I'll put this out there. I do have a strength coach who is the smartest person I know when it comes to building muscle. So I'll do my own cardio 30-minute interval training. And then after I'm done with my 30 minutes, I'll do his about an hour to an hour and a half of strength work, tempo stuff, accessory stuff. And his stuff has absolutely been amazing and has exceeded all my expectations. So I'm slowly processing, like, why did I get rid of this coach? Why do I love this coach? And
yep.
He's so knowledgeable of stuff that I know nothing about that I just have so much respect, and I will absolutely listen to everything he says. But on the cardio piece, as long as you're breathing hard, I'm hitting, like, Sunday I'll sit down and I'll write down, okay, I need to do all of these movements these weeks. So mm-hmm. It might be handstand pushups, double unders, row, ski, run, and just have my list. And then I'll just factor those in throughout the week. So I'll hit for sure double unders once a week, sandbag once a week, clean and jerk snatch, and just kind of piece them together. And I'll vary between a 10-minute interval to a 1-minute interval to a 2-minute to a 3-minute. So it's kind of like the mad scientist process, putting it all together.
Yeah.
But I'm always super, super proud when it comes together. And I'm like, I want to do this stuff. Let's start Monday.
Yeah. So do you have like a certain rep limit, like per week at all? Like I've heard some coaches yes. do like, you know, 100, you can only do like 100 of, you know, let's say wall balls, like that one number 100 is like, that's it. So what's the kind of number rep that you kind of stop at?
Absolutely. So muscle ups, I try not to do more than 30 ring muscle ups. As it gets closer to the games, I might bump that up to 40 because sometimes they'll throw crazy numbers at us. Chest to bar, I try to keep it at 100. Toes to bar, keep it 100. GHDs, 100 to 150. And then I try not to do any like clean and jerks. If it's super heavy, let's not do more than 25. Mm-hmm. So it kind of depends on the movement, but there are limiters to where I'm like, okay, at one point in the season, this person had me doing 200 chest to bars and my shoulder started to hurt. I think there's a correlation between the two. So I'm just trying to be a little bit smarter. You don't need, nobody's going to program 200 chest to bars, hopefully.
That'd be insane. That'd be absolutely insane. So with obviously the Open and quarterfinals coming up, you actually were your first place overall in quarterfinals.
Yeah. Isn't that awesome?
It's insane. So was that the goal of the whole time for quarterfinals to like, you know, send the message to everybody and like, yes, listen, don't mess with mom. Don't mess with mom.
We're going to say that's it. Yeah. No, it was actually the best thing mentally that could have happened because I switched up my training so much and I've been training from home with one of my buddies. So it's been the best thing for affirmation to be like, you're working hard. You're doing exactly what you need to at this point of the season. Don't change anything. Mm-hmm. It was the best thing that could have ever happened. Because if I would have gotten like 60th place, I would have had to reevaluate my programming for myself, my strength coach, am I eating right? Am I sleeping enough? Everything. But now it's just like, okay, you're good. Keep doing what you're doing. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, did you like, well, obviously you probably are biased on it, but did you like the programming for quarterfinals in the Open?
I loved it, but I'm biased because I love high skill and gymnastics and that's all it was. Mm-hmm. And it was moderate weight, nothing crazy heavy. What did you think?
So I didn't do it. So, the reason why is so I don't work out in a box. So there's this like powerlifting gym that has CrossFit stuff. And I've been doing CrossFit for like 10 years. But this would have been my ninth, the 10th year at the doing the Open, but I just didn't want to go to a gym and like, you know, I didn't want to interrupt people's time and stuff like that because like supposedly like the owner of the gym would have to, you know, judge me. And so like, I don't want to take time away from her, you know, for her clients or anything like that. But it, like, they were gracious. They're like, you can come on down like and do it if you want. And I'm just like, aww. I was like, I don't know. Like so this is like, I took a break from the Open. So this year I'm trying to go a little bit harder to actually do a little bit better for next year. So we'll see what happens for that.
Good for you. Was it hard to watch from the sidelines?
Yeah. Yeah, because I did the shuttle run to the thruster workout for the first open, but the problem
is hardest one.
Yeah, so the problem was is I'm 6'6", and so the pull up bar is I could literally stand up and hold the bar just by touching the ground. It was like it wouldn't have counted anyway. But I was just like, all right, I'll do this and just try the workout and kind of go from there. So I did good. The thruster, I did good. I did 260, so I was happy about that.
Wow. Yeah, that's really good, especially for being a taller athlete too.
Yeah, it takes a mile for me to catch the bar to do a squat.
That's what I was going to say. Your range of motion is not the same.
Yeah, it was like, it's funny because I've worked out with like younger people and I'm like, I'm going to smoke this dude. And, you know, it came to pull-ups and I'm like, hey, how many are you on? And he's like double of what I am. And then I look at the video, he's like every two pull-ups is like one of mine. And I'm sitting there like, all right, I can't, there's no way I can game this system. Just kind of go hard for like other avenues.
Yeah. Get them on the run.
Yeah. But, obviously, there's like a lot of younger people coming into CrossFit. And I've heard supposedly there's like a 16-year-old that's going to be going to semifinals as an elite.
I think so.
So what are your thoughts of like all these like younger kids, you know, going into CrossFit that is like an elite athlete?
I think it's wild. I didn't even know what CrossFit was at the time. So it's just so cool to see how it's evolved and how people found it. But I was still very much doing high school sports, and high school sports was so much fun. I would love to tell them, enjoy high school, run track, try out for basketball, try out for cheer, because that's such a small window that you can do that for most people. And then I'd be like, CrossFit will be there when you're 18, 2 years later. Mm-hmm. I personally loved high school sports. So I would love to encourage them to like, hey, still do high school sports, and then it'll just translate over to CrossFit when you're ready.
Yeah, it's I just think it's insane. A 16-year-old girl doing the elite division, which is like, I would like you said, like I was in high school, I'm a lot older than you are, but like it's just like I would never even think about like doing that as a 16-year-old.
No, nor could I afford it, and my parents would not have paid for it.
Yeah, that's
so it
would
have been those that they're like, oh, that's cool. Get a job, and then you can pay for it.
But yeah, pretty much.
Expensive too.
Yeah, it's like I mean, obviously, it's a business, and they got to make money too. So you know, that's the price point, which is perfectly fine. I have no issues with it, but but it's funny like how other people can go to like a global gym or some other place and like with like one third of the cost and you know still do the same stuff.
Yeah. But it's not as fun. Like even true. I'll admit it. And I feel like most people would not as fun.
Yeah. I train by myself too. So it gets boring after a little while. Yeah. I don't have anybody with me.
So I feel like you do need at least one person there.
Yeah. I agree.
What time do you train?
5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, you're a crazy one. No wonder everybody's sleeping.
Yeah. My ass is up at like 4 o'clock in the morning. So I just like get ready, drive over and kind of go.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good
well, I mean,
for you.
That's the only time I could work out because I can't work out in the middle of the afternoon because I got like a 9-to-5 job. And then, you know, I get home and I have to like, you know, I want to hang out with the family and the kids and put them to bed and stuff like that. And obviously doing this podcast too is another thing. So, you know, if I didn't work out in the morning, I'd be very, very out of shape. So.
Yeah, you have to. Well, you prioritize it. Mm-hmm. I like it. Yeah, there'll be times where Blakely might wake up at 4 a.m., 5 a.m., and I'll walk to her room, help her out. And I think to myself, there are people in the gym working out right now. There's no way. And then I go back to bed. So you're one of those people.
Yeah. It's hard to wake up in the beginning because I follow Misfit Athletics. And so like, they have like a strength portion. Oh, nice. They follow a strength portion first. And I'm like, I can't lift heavy right now. Like right off the bat, there's no way. So they have this like accessory work portion where I do my warmups, the accessory work. So I just do that and kind of, you know, see what happens. Is that the little one?
That is. She's creeping in. But good for you. That's what I even tell people, especially moms who are like, oh, I can't work out. I don't have time. It's like, if it's important for you to eat healthy, to work out, you will find a way. It may not be ideal, but you'll find a way.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I completely agree. Like when I was in the military too, like people would be like, I don't have time to work out because I got school. I'm like, but you watch TV, so it's the same.
Right.
You could do something. So
you could do something, exactly.
Yeah. So we're getting close to the end. So I have some final thoughts kind of deal. Actually, before that, I do want to ask. So like, obviously you're in the West, you're going to the West Coast side for the semis, right?
Correct.
So what do you think about, you know, the other, like, you know, other people for the elite division to kind of, you know, obviously the East Coast is more stacked than it is on the West Coast. So
I think so too. Yeah.
So what's your thought on that?
I'm personally thankful, as bad as that sounds. The goal is to get to the game. So if I can go the easy-ish route versus the ridiculous hard, I'm super thankful to be in the West. But the hard part is I have four like really good friends in CrossFit. Danny Spiegel, Alex Gazan, I guess three, and Emily Rolfe, and they're all in the West. Mm-hmm. So all weekend it's going to be, okay, let's talk, but we're also competitors and we have to be focused. So I can't talk to you too much. Mm-hmm. So the West is going to be fun, but it's also going to be hard to juggle the competitive side and the friendship side. You still want to support them, still want to see them do good, but you also still want to beat them on the competition floor.
Yeah, so
it'll be an interesting dynamic.
Yeah. Do you think he's going to implement, Boz is going to implement new movements?
Oh, I don't know. I do expect him to throw in crossover double unders at semifinals. Mm-hmm. I'm just hoping he'll throw in kind of like quarterfinals. High skill, if there's a heavyweight, you have to prove yourself to get to the heavyweight. Just have to take strategy and skill, I guess. But it is different going into the West being number one. So mm-hmm. I have nowhere to go but down or hold that number one title.
Yeah.
So I hope I can hold on to it after the weekend's over. Yeah. But as long as I get to the games, that's the end goal.
Mm-hmm. So like, do you stay there like 2 weeks before the like what, how does that work for you?
Because I'm a mom and my husband owns a business, we fly in, get there exactly when check-in starts, which is probably Wednesday. I think competing starts Thursday. And then we'll leave first flight Monday to come back, because CrossFit's fun, but it's not like I have to come back. My daughter will be with my mother-in-law for 4 days. Mm-hmm. I got to relieve her. Dylan will have to go back to work. So mine isn't as fantasy as some of the other CrossFit athletes are. Some get there a week before to get acclimated, sweat, get comfortable. But if you're fit, you just got to show up, do what you do, and then go home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I agree. So, all right. So now we got the listener questions, not the listener question, okay. But yeah, the last final question. So, do you obviously make it to the games is one of the goals, but do you have like any other goals that you want to hit by the end of the year?
I think I would personally love to open up the back shop gym. Okay. I would love to invite more people to work out with me, but I physically can't because our garage is too small. So I would say, as a business standpoint, I'd love to open it up and bring in a little bit more community to work out with me if they want to.
Okay. All right. And anything like other than like the gym, is there any other personal, like, you know, goals that you want to hit?
Yeah. I guess personal, if I'm thinking as a family, my husband and I are in the process of building a house to sell. So we would love to finish the house and sell it, and then invest in another type of real estate from a business goal, I guess, as a family.
Okay. All right. Awesome. Mm-hmm. So next question, do you have a favorite book you like to read or like give out as a gift to people?
I give it out to people if I know they like the genre, but it's a thriller genre and it's called The Silent Patient. And it's just my all-time favorite book. I'm not going to give too much away, but it's a lady in a psych ward and this therapist is trying to figure out why she doesn't talk. And throughout the whole story, it's just a good story. There are a few cuss words in there, but it's been one of my favorite books I've ever read.
Okay. Awesome. Oh, who's the author?
Oh goodness. I'm horrible with authors. I couldn't even tell you.
All right. Just Amazon Silent Patient. So that's it.
Last I checked, I believe it had almost 13 million reviews. Like,
holy
so many
smokes.
People have read this. Or maybe it was 130,000, but so many people had read it that it just blew my mind that it's like, okay, I'm not crazy. This is a good book. Other people liked it too.
Awesome. Awesome. So our next question. So what is in your gym bag, or do you even have one?
I don't have a gym bag, but when I used to, I would have jump rope grips, like the sweatbands, thumb tape. And I think that was it. I didn't have too much because I hated the bulky, smelly bags. Oh, and knee sleeves and a belt. Those are two necessities. Mm-hmm. I never wanted my bag to smell. Some people would open theirs up and you would just be like, okay.
Yep, that's me. I left it in the car and it like,
oh,
my old truck used to smell so bad. And so it's just like, now I have a cover on my flatbed. So I just throw it into my flatbed and I'm like, I don't have to deal with perfect. I still have kind of the new car smell still a little bit. So
a little bit. Oh, yeah, one of my good friends. Yeah, don't do that. She used to bring her gym bag and she'd come straight from work. So she'd put a snack in her gym bag. And one day her bag just smelled disgusting. Wouldn't you know it? She brought for a snack, a hard boiled egg. Oh. And she dropped one in her bag. And for a week, it just like mustered up this boiled egg smell. It was disgusting.
Oh, it's so gross.
It was so bad. And she was like, oh, I found why my bag stinks.
Like, okay. Oh, disgusting. Disgusting.
So silly.
So you have a bunch of sponsors too as well. So, you know, if a new sponsor was kind of, you know, coming to you, like how do you, you know, what makes a good sponsor for you?
We definitely have been super, super blessed. All of my sponsors, we have like aligning visions, if that makes sense. Yeah. So I really like a good company who's, doesn't make me have to advertise anything I don't like. Mm-hmm. All the sponsors I like thoroughly use. I drink the coffee. I take the protein powder. So it's something that I personally agree with and I personally use. Yes. I've had a few come along that I'm just like, man, I don't really like your product. Thank you for the offer, but I'm not going to fake it if I don't like your bars that you're sending me.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Next question. It's a little deep. So,
okay.
Let's just say it's your last day on this planet and you have all your friends around you. How do you want to know, how do you want people to know you as?
I'd want them to know me as someone who saw them and noticed them and cared for them. So like if they walk in a room, I said hi to them. Or if they were having a bad day, I was able to tell that they were having a bad day and ask what's wrong. So I'd love to be someone who's not so focused on myself and what I have to do for the day that mm-hmm. they could see that I genuinely cared about them.
Okay. All right, cool. Where can people reach out to you if they have any questions about, you know, your programming, if they want to start doing that, wink, wink, or like any other questions.
Definitely Instagram is going to be the best way. Ariel Arm, which is just ARM at the end of it.
All right. Very cool. Well, thank you very much for doing this. I, you know, it was awesome getting to know you a little bit more and, you know, hopefully that, you know, the big shed would be, you know, open up really soon and, you know, you get to get, right. like, get a little side business going.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate it. It was great talking to you as well.
And we'll talk later.
Sounds good.